Hey, this is Max Perez, lead pastor at Legacy Church. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. My prayer is that it helps you and encourages you and gives you some practical ways to live out your faith and ultimately brings you closer to Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Take your Bibles, and if you have one, open up to Matthew 11, verse 28. We're going to get right into the Word. And it was, as Rebecca mentioned, I had texted Amy, who leads the worship team. She's away this week. If we could sing the song, Run to the Father. He said, oh, I'm away, but Waldo's leading, and he's already leading that song. So just a confirmation to me that in this season, we find ourselves as a country, as individuals, and as the church, there's some things that the Lord really wants us to get. And I believe that what I'm going to share is one of those things. So I want to really encourage you to hear what the Lord is saying. I trust that I will be speaking, you know, as his mouthpiece, but even though I'm speaking, that you would hear the Holy Spirit whisper to your heart and you would make the application to your life as he directs you. So we are going to talk about two invitations today from Matthew 10 or 11, and we sang the song, which was an invitation, right? Run to the Father. Well, let's look at the words that Jesus spoke to a crowd of people when he was walking on the face of the earth, and he's speaking this to us. Look at verse 28, Matthew 11. He says, come to me. That's the first invitation. Come to me, all who are weary or all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And verse 29 says, take my yoke. And this is the other invitation we're going to look at. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm not going to take a lot of time on the first invitation that Jesus gives us, which was come to me, right? And just as we sang that song, run to the Father. I want you to notice that invitation that Jesus has given to us today by his Holy Spirit is to come to him. You know, we're not talking about coming to a religion. In fact, the ones who were listening to him were burdened with religion. The religion of that day, the Pharisaical Judaism, was a load that crushed the people. And there was all these rules and regulations that brought no life. It really brought them into slavery. And not only that, but they were under the yoke of the Roman government. And if you think, you know, it's difficult living in America at this time, but we have not seen anything. You know, if you lived in that time, the time that the New Testament was written, the believers in that time experienced tremendous oppression, and all the people in Israel under the yoke of the Roman government. And so these people were burdened. But Jesus said to them, he cried out, come to me. Not to a religion, not to a philosophy, not to a church even, but to a person. And so I want to just, right from the start, I want to say, you know, what we believe in here and what the Bible teaches is that God calls us into fellowship with his Son. The sharing of our lives with Jesus Christ. And here we have Jesus say, hey, you who are heavy, you who are burdened or laboring, which is working to the point of weariness, you who are burdened, you who are heavy laden, burdened down, come to me, come to me. That invitation still stands. So whatever your burden is, and there's a lot of things that we might be burdened about, I want you to know that Jesus Christ is able to take that burden. And notice the promise he said, if you come to me, I will give you rest. I will give you rest. You know, and this rest is not just not working, but the word more means refreshment. I will give you refreshment. Think of when you're outside working in the garden in a hot summer day, and or you're doing something else, or you come in, you take a nice glass of cold water, and you are physically refreshed. Well, Jesus Christ, who's the fountain of living water, whose life is unending and can minister to us wherever, whatever our need is and wherever we're at, he's the one who's saying, come to me, come to me. In another place, he said, come and drink, all who are thirsty. So if you're dry, if you're feeling a little bit disconnected, today, I'm inviting you, come to Jesus Christ. And I know over the years, I have experienced numerous times, I'm sure thousands of times over these decades, when I have felt dry and burdened and discouraged, and I couldn't see clearly, but the Holy Spirit reminded me, hey, come to Jesus. This very verse, come to me, and I will give you rest. And that's a gift, isn't it? That's a gift. And if you've never come to Jesus in a real way, maybe you're part of the church, you're going to church, and you're connecting with the church, but maybe you haven't connected with Jesus Christ. It's not too late. Today, Jesus is standing here before you and saying, hey, come to me. Come to me. I know your burden. And Peter says, cast all your burdens on God because he cares for you. Like nobody else, God cares for you. He cares for us. And the wonderful thing is that rest and that refreshment is real, and it is exactly what we need today. And going forward, you know, it's something that we are needing to experience in a maybe greater way than we've ever experienced before. So I want you to hear this. This is important. This is to prepare you for whatever comes in our lives as individuals, as a church, as a country. Jesus Christ is our only hope. We sang about it, right? He is the hope. The Bible says that we have been born again into a living hope, a living hope. And that hope translates many times in his ministry to us as individuals. So that's invitation one. Come to him and he will give us rest. Now there's another invitation, and this is what I want to take a little more time on because this is really important. In verse 29, I'm going to read it again here. He says, the two things he says, come to me, and now he says, take my yoke. So come to me, I'm going to give you rest, but now he says, take my yoke. And if you really think about it, you know, okay, Jesus, I am coming to you, you're giving me rest, but now you're telling me to take a yoke. And a yoke back then, and even today, symbolizes a burden. It symbolizes bondage and even slavery, the yoke of slavery. The Israelites under Egypt, they lived under the yoke of slavery for 400 years. And so even today, so we think about, okay, Jesus, you're giving me rest, you're offering me rest, and I receive that, but the first thing you say is to take my yoke. So what's up with that? Well, I'm going to tell you what's up with that. Notice what Jesus says. Every word in the scriptures are important. He says, take whose yoke? My yoke. Jesus speaking says, take my yoke. And I think the problem is that we often, and you could be a Christian, whoever you are, whatever your spiritual journey looks like, so many of us, we take on other yokes. Other yokes. We take on responsibilities that are not ours, And I just listed some things here. The yoke of religion I've already mentioned, the yoke of addictions. I don't know if there's any other society in the world, maybe there is, I don't know, but where there's so many Americans who are addicted in so many different ways. And addictions are, it's a yoke. They promise us, I don't care if it's, you know, drugs, alcohol, food, or whatever, promises us relief and rest. And at first, it seems to do that, right? But then it's soon that relationship we have with that drug or drink or food or relationship, it becomes abusive, doesn't it? And it takes and takes and takes. And so we have these yokes of addiction. We have, and if that's not our issue, we have many times we're taking responsibilities that are not ours. You know, you've probably heard the term codependent, where that's where we're taking on responsibilities that are not ours, and sometimes we take on the responsibility of trying to change other people. How many know that that doesn't work? When you get married, if you're married, you're married, you know, and if you didn't figure that out before you're married, you know, it's going to be difficult, because you'll find out eventually that you cannot truly change your spouse. And the ways that they irritate you and frustrate you, if you're thinking about getting married and say, oh, well, everything will change when we get married. Yes, they will change for the worse. If I could be so bold. It will, especially if you think that you're going to change them into Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful. It ain't happening. And that's a burden for you and for them. Changing other people, controlling other people, feeling responsible. And this is, you know, as one who has struggled with codependency, feeling responsible for the choices that people make. And then feeling responsible to clean up the mess that their choices caused to happen. I'll say amen or ouch. I don't know. And something the Lord just kind of recently, you know, just really showed me, Gary, you are not responsible for how other people feel, whether about they feel about you or whatever they're feeling. You're not responsible for that. You know, one of the yokes that we carry is trying to please people. And you're never going to please all the people all the time. Never. And that brings a snare. It brings a yoke. You know, the fear of man. That's like the fear of man. I'm afraid what you think of me. I'm afraid that you're not going to approve of me. Okay, that's a yoke that wears us down. And today, Jesus is saying, hey, I want you to be free from that. And so, taking his yoke, the first thing we have to do is recognize the yokes that we have allowed ourselves to others to put on us, or we put on ourselves. And we might not even be aware of it, but today, Jesus, I believe, is going to bring some awareness to your minds, to your hearts. And so the first step is recognizing those yokes, because I can't keep those yokes on me and take his yoke, right? If you think of a two ox plowing a field, they're yoked together, right? Well, somebody doesn't come and put another yoke on them. That'd be ridiculous. So the implication, Jesus, hey, take my yoke. That means I got to lay my yokes. And the first part, come to me. I will give you rest. That implies I'm going to lay my burdens down. I'm laying them down. I'm laying them down. And I'm taking your yoke. So the first step in this taking is you'll recognize the yokes you have taken up. And then the second thing, very simply, is substituting those yokes with Jesus's yoke. So what is Jesus's yoke? What is his yoke? It's very simple. Simple to understand, but it takes a lifetime to learn how to stay in that yoke and how to function in that yoke. It's simply doing Jesus's will in the strength that he provides for his glory. It's being joined together with Jesus to do his will. And you say, and you might, and I know when I fell away from the Lord, because as a teenager or a young teen, I saw my friends having so much fun, and I fell away. But God powerfully came to my life, and he showed me his love. But you know, and it was so powerful, and I knew that I had to put his yoke. Even as a young child, I just knew God has a will and a purpose for my life. And I knew when he revealed himself to me, I had to. And I was a little bit, and I was glad in one ways that Jesus still loved me, even though I had walked away from him. But in another way, I was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to do all those fun things that I was doing. I was a teenager, you know, partying and all those things. And I was like a little sad. But you know, Jesus quickly showed me that it wasn't that he wanted to take away those things that I thought were fun, which in reality had bound me, but the joy that he wanted to give me. He wasn't taking things away as much as pouring out life and hope and joy and purpose and meaning. Jesus' yoke is good. It's good. He loves us. When we are yoked together, we are being joined together with the perfect, the creator of the universe, the one from whom all love and joy and peace and every good gift comes. Why wouldn't we want to be yoked together with him? You ever hear the saying, hook your wagon to a star? You ever hear that? Oh, okay. I think Ralph Waldo Emerson said that. Hook your wagon to a star. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. We recognize that Jesus is offering us to go on adventure with him, an amazing adventure. Exciting. Sometimes it's dangerous. Sometimes it's difficult in some ways. But notice what he says, and this is the third point. Okay, so we're going to recognize the yokes we have taken up, which are destroying us and keeping us bound. And fear is a yoke. That's probably the biggest yoke our world is facing with right now. That's a yoke, and Jesus is saying, give that to me. Okay, so recognize the yokes. Substitute these yokes with Jesus' yoke, and that's doing his will with his strength for his glory. And then the third thing is let Jesus teach us, right? Look at what it says. Jesus says, take my yoke, and then he says, learn from me. I like the New Living Translation. He says, let me teach you. I like that, because learn from me is like, it could be, you know, learn from my example, which is not necessarily bad, but sometimes a good example can be very discouraging, right? Right? Really? Somebody who's got it all made and doing, you know, great in all these different spheres, I thought, oh, I can't do that. But it's not, Jesus was not really saying learn from me as from my example. Oh, he's definitely not saying learn about me. Not saying about learn about me. He's saying, let me teach you. See, I think there's a picture. I know there is a picture. I don't know if you can pull it up, of the two oxen yoked together. Are they there? Come on, ox. There you are. Okay. The one on the left is me, and Jesus is the one on the right. So Jesus and I, and if you take his yoke, see, he never forces us to do anything. He just does not do that. He invites us. He invites us. And he's inviting us today. Hey, take my yoke. Take my yoke. And we allow that yoke to be put on us, and we're walking with Jesus, living with Jesus. And he is such a good teacher. He says, hey, learn from me. And he doesn't, I use this silly illustration. I don't know if anybody laughed, but just think of the two ox. You know what they do sometimes? They have the older, more experienced ox, the stronger ox on one, and then the younger, maybe weaker, not experienced ox in the yoke on one side. But that younger ox learns, he's with the older ox, you know, and he's, you know, so the older ox, he doesn't get out of the yoke and sit under a tree and drink lemonade and say, hey, you're not doing it right. Do it that way. You know, Jesus, certainly, he's a teacher, and he says, learn from me. Why? Because I am gentle and humble in heart. Wow. You know, teachers, I've had a lot of teachers in my time, and there's some teachers, I don't know why they're teaching. They don't like kids. I used to think that. I said, why are you teaching? You know, you don't like kids. You know, but the teacher who filled with knowledge and knows, you know, if they're an element, they know so much more than their students, but they know how to connect with their students. Now, Jesus is, multiply that by 1,000, right? He knows all the mysteries, all knowledge, perfectly in every way, but he allows us to come and to be joined with him. And he's so patient. He teaches us, he teaches us, he teaches us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm trying to see what the Lord is saying. I'm going to tell you a story, and I kind of went back and forth on this because I'm going to tell you one way that bearing Jesus' yoke, being yoked together, how that looked in my life. And I hesitate to tell it because this is my yoke, you know, from Jesus. Jesus has a yoke for each of us, perfectly suited to who you are as a person, your temperament, your gifts, your calling, perfectly suited for you. Because he's going to say later, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. And the word easy, it's not like easy peasy, it's more like comfortable. It fits, just as the yoke on those animals actually make their work easier. So Jesus's work, it fits who we are. It fits who we are. And so let me tell you this story. I was pastoring a church on Long Island. This happened a number of years ago, but it stays fresh in my mind. And I was driving down the road one day, and this is East Northport, Long Island. If you're from the island, you might know that town. So I'm driving down the road, minding my own business, and there's a man walking on the side of the road, and he looked out of place. He actually looked like he was homeless. And I just kind of noticed him, and as I went by, it felt like the Holy Spirit said, hey, I want you to help him. Oh, Lord. What do you mean? You know, just go up to him and say, hey, I want to help you. I just saw my flesh, right, just reacted. But the Lord said, no, this is important to me. I want you to do this. I said, okay, Lord. So I said, okay. So I figure I'm going to have to go around and try to figure out how to get back. And I'm doing that, but I'm secretly thinking, hoping the guy's going to be gone. And I at least would have tried, but I won't have to. But I do that. I go around, I swing around, come back, and I could see him. And not only is see him, he's walking, but there's actually a place I can pull up alongside him. So I said, okay, Lord. So I pull up alongside him, I roll down the window, said, hey, how you doing? Can I help you? Can I give you a ride? It just came out of my mouth. Can I give you a ride? He goes, yeah, okay. So he had a couple bags. So he comes in to the car. And so we're talking, and he wasn't like a very talkative, kind of introverted, you know. So I'm telling my name and get his name. His name was Ray. And so we talk a little bit, very shallow. And so actually he wasn't homeless, but he had owned a house. His parents had died, and they gave him their house. He lived in the back apartment. There's an apartment, just a little Cape Cod house. He lived in the back, and he rented the rest of the house out. That's how he supported himself. And so I drive him to his house. He gets out of the car, and I just say, hey, you know, would you mind if I came by sometime to visit you? He said, sure, yeah. So for the next couple of years, once in a while, once a month or so, I would go over to Ray's house. And it was interesting because Ray, he said by his own admission he was a bum. He had a house, but he just what he did. And almost every time I went there, he was smoking weed. We called it pot back then. Smoking pot, drinking beer, and watching TV. And so that's what he was doing. So I would go there and sit down, and I didn't smoke pot, I didn't drink beer, but I did watch TV with them. And I tried to get, you know, strike up a conversation, tell him about my life, hear about his life, but I could get hardly anything out of him. I knew he was in the Navy, which was interesting, but Ray was, you know, he was a big guy, he had like a beard, looked like a little bit like the hell guy in the Hell's Angels, you know, but I did that for a number of weeks and times. And one time in particular, and he wasn't a good housekeeper, I'll put it that way. So one time I go there and just sit, and I, you know, my yoke was to tell him about Jesus and get him saved. You know, he obviously needed to be, quote, saved. That was my yoke. But Jesus had a plan. He had a different plan. And I remember one day in particular, I leave his house. I said, Lord, this is like crazy. I have so many things to do. I go there and I sit and we watch Seinfeld together. It was like, that's all, it seemed like that was on every time I went. And I said, you know, and really, it smells, you know. And the Lord whispered to my heart, not condemning, but he said, you know, Gary, sometimes your sin offends me and I still am with you. Oh, Lord. Okay, Lord. So we go, and then one time I'm sitting there, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to say. There's nothing. And he said, ask him if he would like to be my friend. And I say, hey, Ray, you know, would you like, I feel Jesus wants to, he's asking you if you'd like to be his friend. And I'm telling you God's truth. He says, does he smoke weed? He said that. I go, well, no, he doesn't smoke weed. But he would still like to be your friend. He goes, oh, okay. And that was that. So it goes on and on. I'm still like, okay, we're getting somewhere, maybe. But it's really only because I'm listening to the Lord. Jesus is doing the work. I'm just along for the ride. You get the picture? That's what it is. We're along for the ride. He does the work through us. We got to get that. We got to get that. So one time I felt an urge to go visit Ray. I said, okay. So, and to be honest, I'm going to full disclosure, there were some times I felt an urge and I didn't go, you know, and that's, you know, I'm learning how to follow Jesus. Still am. So, but this time I felt an urge and said, okay, God, I'm going. So I go, and he wasn't smoking weed. He wasn't drinking beer. I remember, I think he was watching TV, but so I go in there, and he was subdued. Maybe he was subdued because he wasn't smoking pot, but he just was really, really, something was going on. So I'm just saying, God, what's going on? What's happening here? And so we're watching this show, whatever, and he's not saying anything, and I can't really get him to talk. And so all of a sudden, this thought comes to my mind. He says, give Ray a hug. Now, you gotta realize here, our relationship did not involve hugs. You know, Ray's sitting there. He's a big man. He's got a big beard. And that night, it was really hot, like a July night, in Long Island, humid. And Ray did not have a shirt on. I'm telling you the truth. So I'm saying, this ain't happening. That is not God. No way. God, he's going to think I'm gay. I don't know. It's just, really, I'm telling you, those thoughts, and I just, my flesh has said, this ain't happening. This is not happening. So, but the Lord would not let me go. Give him a hug. Give him a hug. And so my mind said, I got to do something because God's really bugging me. And I say, okay, I'm gonna shake his hand. That's a good compromise. And the Lord didn't say anything. You know, sometimes when God's not speaking, you should worry about that a little bit. And so I say, okay, Ray, I'm going to get going. but it was nice being with you. And I stand up, he stands up, put my hand out. He takes my hand, and he's holding on to it, holding on to it. I'm saying, okay, what's going on? What's going on here? And then Ray said something that I'll never forget as long as I live. He said, would you hug me? Would you hug me? And I was like, I felt so convicted because God was speaking to me, but I resisted what God was saying where this man heard. He, and not that he heard, but he was in sync with the Holy Spirit. And I felt convicted, but incredibly thankful that God had this man. And I'm telling you, that was, to me, that was like the thief on the cross who said, Jesus, remember me, that he would say that at that moment. And I said, yeah, of course, Ray. And I gave him a big hug, and it was like Jesus was hugging Ray, and Jesus was hugging me. It was amazing. And we just hugged, and to be honest with you, I can't remember exactly what happened that night, the rest of the night. I think we just hugged, and I walked, and I was like, walked away. I say, wow, wow. And a little bit after that, I lost track of time, but some months later, there was an evangelist a pastor from Africa was visiting me and staying at my house, and we went to New York City to minister. But on the way home, I decided, hey, let's go visit Ray. And so we go in there, and within 5 minutes, Bishop Makona leads Ray to Jesus Christ. So, but you know what? Yes, we can clap. But, you know, that was maybe for me, you know, because Jesus was working in this man's life, you know, and when you get hooked up with Jesus, when you connect with Jesus, when you put his yoke on you, he will take you to people that you never would have gone to. He will take you to places you would never would have gone to. You will do things that you would have never done. It's an adventure that Jesus Christ is inviting us to participate in. Be yoked with his yoke. Take his responsibility. And if you, some of you might feel, oh, I don't know if I can do that, then maybe something comes to your mind. I heard someone say, how can you know the will of God? Well, the will of God is this: what scares you to death for you to do, but maybe you'd like to do, but it scares you to death, that's probably the will of God. The truth is, you can't do what God calls you to do in your own strength. There's no way. It's way beyond your strength and your wisdom. But he's right there with you, my friend. He's right there with you, teaching you, guiding you, empowering you, and doing his work of redemption to this world through you and through me. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.